Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 11, Lord Ramachandra Rules the World, text number 23. Purusha Ramacharitam, Shravanai Upadarayam, Anidri Shamsya Parodrajan, Karmabandai Vimuchate. Purusha, any person, Ramacharitam, the narration concerning the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Ramachandra. Shravanai, by oral reception, Upadaryan, simply by this process of hearing. Andri Shamsya Paraha becomes completely free from envy. Rajan, O King Parikshit, Karma Bandai, by the bondage of fruitive activities. Vimuchite, one becomes liberated. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O King Parikshit, anyone who orally receives the narrations concerning the characteristics of Lord Ramachandra's pastimes will ultimately be freed from the disease of envy and thus be liberated from the bondage of fruitive activities. Report. Here in the material, in this material world, everyone is envious of someone else. Even in religious life, it is sometimes found that if one devotee has advanced in spiritual activities, other devotees are envious of him. Such envious devotees are not completely freed from the bondage of birth and death. As long as one is not completely freed from the bondage of birth and death, one cannot enter the Sanatan Dhamma or the eternal pastimes of the Lord. One becomes envious because of being influenced by the designations of the body. But the liberated devotee has nothing to do with the body. Therefore, he is completely on the transcendental platform. A devotee is never envious of anyone, even his enemy. Because the devotee knows that the Lord is the supreme protector, he thinks, what harm can the so-called enemy do? Thus the devotee is confident about his protection. The Lord says, Yeyatamam prapadyante tamstataiva bhajamyaham. According to the proportion of one's surrender unto me, I respond accordingly. A devotee must therefore be completely free from envy, especially of other devotees. To envy other devotees is a great offense, a Vaishnava aparad. Devotee who constantly engages in hearing and chanting, Shravanam Kirtana, is certainly freed from the disease of envy, and thus he becomes eligible to go back home, back to Godhead. Text again, Purusha Ramacharitam Shravanai Upadaryan Anri Shamsya Paro Rajan Karabandai Vimuchite. O King Parikshit, anyone who orally receives the narrations concerning the characteristics of Lord Ramachandra's pastimes will ultimately be freed from the disease of envy and thus be liberated from the bondage of fruitive activities. The aim of the Krishna consciousness movement is to help us become conscious of Krishna. And if we become conscious of Krishna, then when we see things properly, then there'll be no more envy, material envy. But in order to come to that platform, we have to become free from envy. So which comes first? Actually, what we have to do is understand things properly. And then gradually, as we accept things as they actually are, therefore we become free from our enviousness. The first thing is that we want to be something that we're not, which is very difficult, impossible. Especially when we want to become the controller of the material nature. Because we can't control any of the material nature because we're not part of the material nature. And the material nature is Daiviyesha Gunamayi Mamamayi Dharatya. The material nature belongs to Krishna and is fully under his control. And since we're 1/10,000th the size of the tip of our insides, and Krishna is unlimited, it's a hard struggle for us. Karshati. Matter of fact, it's a useless struggle because it's impossible. Even Hiranyakashipu, he wanted to become immortal in this body, and he underwent a very difficult austerity for 120 years of the demigods, and he was a complete failure. Especially after he developed an acute stomach problem, he eventually disappeared. Therefore, Krishna says, Ya idam paramam guyam mad bhakteshva vidash namashi. Idam tu te guyatamam pravaksham anushuyave jnana vijnanam sahitam yajgyatva moksha se shubhat. Because you are never envious of me, Arjuna, therefore I'll explain to you the most confidential, theoretical and applied knowledge. By realizing this, you'll become free from the miseries of material existence. So when we hear about hearing, we have to hear in the right attitude, from the right source. And then we can see whether or not we're inspired to actually put into practice kirtan. And from kirtan, from serving Krishna, serving the instructions of Krishna by manifesting them in our lives, then the result is, then there's smarana. Krishna gives revelation. We begin to remember reality again. But the question is, are we ready to accept reality? Are we ready to accept that all living entities, no matter what their material situation is, I have no advantage over them. I haven't progressed in the material world that now I can declare I'm better than others. Now externally, there's differentiation, but we can't take any credit for the differentiation. In other words, I may have a body which may swim very fast or jump high or can recite so many verses, whatever. I may have different bodies, but ultimately I'm not the doer. I just desired in a certain way, and Krishna, recognizing my desire, gave me what I deserved through his material nature as a gift. So this body is a gift by the material nature according to our past activities and desires, as a punishment for not surrendering to Krishna completely. Therefore, anyone who's proud of his material situation is exactly as a person who's in a prison being tortured by the guards is proud of how nicely decorated his prison is, prison cell. It may be a very nice color, but after all, it's a prison cell. Therefore, how to get out of this problem? What are we going to hear about? We're going to hear with Krishna's eternal servants, that Krishna exists, and that we are also eternal, and that we're eternally serving Krishna, either indirectly through his material nature, through the forces of material energy, which are influencing our desire, just like we may feel the pushings of vacha vegam, the urge to speak. And we identify ourselves with that, and we desire, let me say something, however nonsense it may be, because material nature is demanding that I do it. And I feel if I simply fulfill material nature's demand, then my experience will be more pleasant. But we haven't done any, we haven't said anything, we haven't done anything, nor is even the thought coming from us. It's simply being supplied by the material nature, according to our past activities. But we desire, yes, let it be done. And then Krishna, he tells material nature, all right, he deserves to say this, so let him say it. That's his conditioned life. Let him, I'll manifest those words, those activities, whatever, through the material nature, and if he wants to take credit for it, let him take credit for it. Although I'm the doer, and I'm manifesting it through my material nature, but if he wants to take credit for it, he gets the credit because he desired it. Otherwise, I never would have done it. And he deserves it. So similarly, everyone is in that same position. Everyone, whether Vidya, Vinaya, Sampane, Brahmani Gavi Hastini, Shuni Chaiva, Swapakecha, Panditasa, Madarshana, that the humble sages, by virtue of true knowledge, they see with an equal vision the learned and gentle Brahman, the cow, the elephant, the dog, and the dog eater. He sees that every soul has a capacity to desire. If he desires correctly in an auspicious way, then he becomes eternally benefited. And if he desires any other way, then he's just wasting his time, only to be caught up in the struggle for material existence in order to learn the lesson sometime that the struggle, this illusory struggle against the material nature, is always winding up to be defeat. Paravastavadabodajata, Yavana Jignasita Atmatatvam. As long as one continues with the struggle, Paravastavad Abodajata, against ignorance, then, and as long as one does not inquire about reality and try to understand it, apply it, accept it, and hopefully get Krishna's mercy and realize it, as long as one is caught up in the struggle, then one is bound by what? The mind will be unclear, covered by the dust of misconceptions. And then when the mind is unclear, the consciousness is unclear. And as long as the consciousness is unclear, we have to accept one body after another. And what is it caused by? As it says here, that upadis, evamana karma prasamyukte avidyamanupadiyamane. Upadiyamane, these designations, I'm a male, I'm a female, I'm black, I'm white, I come from this country, I'm strong, I'm weak. Now the body certainly has designations, but they're just arbitrary. I mean, it's very rare you meet anyone completely black. Or only if you become a ghost, you become completely white. It's all relative. And strong, weak, they're all just dualities, they're just relative designations. This country, that country. 300 years ago, there were no Slovenians. And in 300 years from now, there may not be any Slovenians. There are no Americans. I mean, there were Americans, but the Indians didn't think they were American. They lived in America. And soon, there won't be any more of Europe. It's just, oh, these are all designations. But one thinks that I am this body, and this body has these designations, and I am these designations. But actually, we just remain the same spiritual soul, desiring either Krishna or some aspect of the material nature. If we desire Krishna, then gradually Krishna will wake up. If we follow the process correctly, if we're willing to follow it correctly. And why don't we follow it correctly? Because we want to show our independence. Or at least Maya is influencing us in such a way as to say, oh, don't listen to Krishna. Krishna's Hindu god. You're a European. Why should you listen to a Hindu god? Prabhupada was this old Indian gentleman. He didn't know modern sociology. But if one is able to understand the basic concepts, then gradually, as one's heart becomes purified, then we'll see that every Krishna is an equal opportunity employer. That everyone has an opportunity to get Krishna. And Krishna's aham sarvasya pravo matak sarvam pravarte. He is the source of everything. You can't get anything better than Krishna. Can you get something better than everything? So everyone has an equal right to get Krishna. And if I get Krishna, it's not that someone else won't be able to get Krishna. I got Krishna's arm, so you can only get his other arm. No, Krishna has arms for everyone. Krishna can expand it. He's already expanded himself in everyone's heart. It's not that Krishna is giving me remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness, and he's only giving you forgetfulness. No, it's equally to every, even to the ants and to the animals, he's giving remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. Krishna is equal to all living entities. To the soul, we shouldn't think, oh, here is an animal. Krishna is giving him remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. No, Krishna is giving the soul remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness when he's in an animal body, so he can gradually progress towards the human form of life and therefore hopefully take shelter of Krishna consciousness. So everyone has that opportunity. And if I assist others to helping them become Krishna conscious, then I become more Krishna conscious. Then that advances my opportunity to get Krishna. And if I don't do that, whatever else I'm doing will not be helpful, perhaps. Because if I'm advancing the mode of goodness, then one day I may realize I'm eternal soul and take shelter of Krishna after that. But other than that, other than if I try to help people become Krishna conscious, it's certainly the most direct way for my awakening my own consciousness of Krishna. Because when Krishna sees that, then he'll be pleased and he'll reveal himself to me gradually. It's only by mercy from Krishna, pleasing his representatives, that we can actually advance in Krishna consciousness. There's no mechanical way of loving Krishna, serving Krishna, with feeling at least. Therefore, instead of seeing others as their, whatever they're manifesting as competitors, oh, he sings better than I do, he jumps higher in kirtan, he knows more slokas, I'm waiting for the day he becomes old and invalid, he can't jump anymore, and then I'm the highest jumper. Then I'm the closer to the spiritual world than he is. I jump up and I'm practically in Vaikuntha. No, it's actually, we should see the good examples of the devotees and appreciate them. Because it's Krishna. Appreciating the activities of devotees is the same thing as appreciating Krishna. It's better than appreciating Krishna. Krishna is more pleased by that appreciation than he would be if we were just appreciating him alone. And even the living entities who are in the material world, who are struggling for existence, they're also Krishna's eternal servants, and we should try to help them too. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is lamenting, how can I help these? I've come here, I've given the holy name, and that so many living entities in the lower forms of life, like the trees and the plants and the insects, how can I save them? So Haridas Thakur said, my dear Lord, just by the loud chanting of the holy name, all living entities are becoming liberated. We can also, if we have nothing else to do, we can chant to the leaves and the plants and the trees and try to help them too, because they're also eternal servants of Krishna like we are. One of them might even be our spiritual mother in the spiritual world. We don't know who they are. Therefore, Yari Deka Tari Kaha Krishna Upadesh Amar Agai Gurahana Tari Desh. Whoever we meet, we only have one relationship with everyone. That is to tell them about Krishna. Dasa, Dasa, Anudasa. We should think ourselves to be the servants of the servants of Krishna, and everyone in our disciple succession has the same mission, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, to tell people about Krishna, to help them become Krishna conscious. And if we do that, then we'll be serving our acharyas in disciple succession. If somehow or another we're doing something to help others become Krishna conscious, even if we're cooking, or we're serving the deities, or we're cleaning the temple, or we're distributing books. Everything we're doing is simply to help people become Krishna conscious, and ourselves too. And we have that attitude, and we pray to Krishna for the transcendental discrimination, transcendental intelligence, to be able to see what's appropriate to help others become Krishna conscious. How to cook nicely, how to serve the deities nicely, how to clean the temple nicely, so that people will appreciate Krishna. If they appreciate a devotee's service, if someone walks into the temple and sees how nicely the temple is decorated or clean or how nice the prasadam is, and they appreciate the devotee, that's better than even appreciating Krishna. Of course, we also want them to see the deities and appreciate how nicely the deities look. So that's glorifying the deities, and it's glorifying the person who's decorated the deities. It's also glorifying the devotees who've gone out in Harinam and brought the people to the temple. So any kind of appreciation all around, that's called bhakti, prema, and that increases everyone's consciousness of Krishna. And when Krishna sees that, he's pleased, and then he gradually gives more and more intelligence to understand how to appreciate more. Transcendental discrimination and expertise in our loving exchanges. And therefore, there won't be any more enviousness if one is actually in love with Krishna, in love with his devotees, and ultimately one is in love with all living entities, then it's not possible to be materially envious, because all living entities will give one transcendental pleasure by serving them. Now we're trying to get pleasure out of serving this gross and subtle body, and the amount of happiness we get is rather limited. And the more envious we become, the more we try to gratify our senses illegally at the expense of other living entities, then the more we become unhappy. And on the other hand, if we recognize our real position and try to serve the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then everything we do in relation with others will become a source of ultimately pleasure. And therefore, there won't be any more friends and enemies. They'll simply be objects of service to Krishna, to help them come back to Krishna, which will please Krishna the most, and Krishna please his devotees the most. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments?
Hare Krishna. There is a question from Bhakti Yoga Tilburg. Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for your lecture. Question, is the philosophy of Madhvacharya different from the philosophy of Lord Chaitanya?
Well, if Madhvacharya said exactly the same philosophy as Lord Chaitanya, there wouldn't be any difference. But there's always going to be difference. Madhvacharya was preaching to a certain time, place, and audience. So he had to give a certain philosophy appropriately. They're acharyas. They teach according to time, place, and circumstance. But ultimately, it's simultaneously one and different because Madhvacharya is a pure devotee of Krishna. And therefore he was delivering the same message of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but appropriately to his time, place, and audience. Similarly, every acharya does that. That's why they're acharyas. If you're in the first grade class, you just got your PhD in mathematics, you don't try to teach the children in the first grade advanced geometry or trigonometry, a calculus. You teach them 1 plus 1 is equal to 2. It doesn't mean that you're teaching a different mathematics than someone who's teaching it at a postgraduate school. But you just have to make it more simple, that's all. Because that's your audience.
Like Jesus.
Yes, like Jesus. Whatever Jesus taught was just, we can only get the essence nowadays. So many other people thought he was wrong and added their own ideas too to the Bible. Anything else? Kala Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.